Well, welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that is all about the issues of aging. What happens to us when we get older, when we can't take care of ourselves, when we're looking toward mom and dad to take care of us, to take care of mom and dad. How are we going to deal with all of this stuff? How do we make sense out of it all? Who's going to take care of me? How am I going to pay for it? Welcome to our show. I've been sitting here doing this for 18, going on 19 years. I've been dealing with the issues of aging for over 25 years. I don't even know how many years now. It's been a long time, folks. Glad to have you with us. My name is Bob Scrivano, your host. A couple things I have to get out of the way first, otherwise somebody gets mad. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're talking about and is not suggesting you get a divorce. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request and direction. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be because I can tell you the truth. What else? Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. It's my opinion only. My book is now ready to go. It will be up for sale here really soon. The name of the book is Navigating Frailty, A Family Guide to Aging with Dignity, Security, and Independence. We're just testing the formats, because it's going to be available as an ebook only to begin with. So it's got to fit Nook and Kindle and Apple and Windows and, all that stuff, because everybody's got different devices. So we've found a couple little glitches, and as soon as those are fixed, I'll be letting you know. The book will first be available and offered to people on my newsletter only. If you're not on my email newsletter, you can get there by going to my website. My website is Assets and Aging, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. And you can sign up for my free email newsletter and go from there. By the way, this coming week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday only, if you sign up for an appointment and come to my office, those of you who've been putting it off, I will put you on the list, and you will get a free copy of Navigating Frailty, A Family Guide to Aging with Dignity, Security, and Independence. So if you need a little motivation, after you hear this show on Sunday, if you come into my office, if you sign up for an appointment and you get into my office on the 24th, 25th, or 26th, I will make sure you get a free copy of the book when it comes out. But again, other than that, the book will only be available to my newsletter list first and will not be available to the general public until sometime down the road. I'm going to give my newsletter list a discount, and they will get first crack. So make sure you read your emails from Assets and Aging in the near future. I'm very excited about it, folks. I really am. It took a long time. It took a long time writing, much longer than I thought it was going to take. It's single-spaced, typed. It's 100 and I don't know how many pages long. But it's chock full of information. And we've also had difficulty because rules have changed along the way, and I want to be as up to date as possible. And so if you get a chance, keep your eye out for the book. Also, this weekend, I videotaped 5 segments on they're like 10 minutes long, and I videotaped them. They'll be up on my web page soon. They'll then be on YouTube sometime after that, and they'll be on my Facebook page, the Assets and Aging Facebook page, in the near future. And I did like 10-minute videotapes on caregiver stress, on financing long-term care, on Medi-Cal, on how to assess needs, and on documents. And so more and more and more, if you hang around my website, and I know I'm really bad at tweeting, and I'm trying to get better at that. You know, I guess I'll never be able to keep up with the Kardashians, but I do need to get better at tweeting stuff. But there's more and more places where when you're dealing with a frail, aging loved one, there is a single best source, and you're listening to it right now. And that's been my goal all along, that this always be California's single best source for the issues of aging. You know, there are nonprofits out there that are all politically motivated, or they're motivated by lawsuits, or they're motivated by... this is the one show where my voice has been talking about the same thing for 18 years, and that is paying attention to the issues of aging. And God willing and the creek don't rise, I hope to continue to do it for at least several more years. I know I'm on at 4 in the morning, but you can tell your friends they can always listen to this show on my website. My shows are all there, and my podcasts are there, and they're chock full of information, and now some videos, soon to be my book. So there's no excuse anymore. I mean, how many of you have now been listening to this show for 10 years, and you're still waiting to get up off your behinds and give me a call and get something done? I can't tell you how many people walk into my office every month, and it's a big crisis. It's a big crisis. Only to find out they've been listening to the show for 5 years or 6 years or 8 years or 2 years or whatever it is, and they've let it get to the crisis point. And the hard reality of all of that is that didn't have to happen. It happened because they just believed it was going to get better, which is a terrible fantasy to have. Or that it wasn't going to happen to them, or it wasn't going to happen to their family, or whatever it was, they were going to escape the inevitable. It's not going to happen. You know, I'm older than I used to be, and every year I can feel it. I know I'm less safe. I know that, you know, I have to be more careful when walking and going up and down stairs, and I have to be more cautious driving, and I have to be more cautious, and we all have to do that. And knock on wood, so far, other than normal aging issues, I don't have memory problems. I can still remember to do this show for the most part. But, you know, in your family, who are you dealing with? You know, I wish I could gently reach out through the microphone and shake you all gently by the shoulders and go, what fantasy are you living in your family with whoever it is, your mom or your dad or your spouse or your grandma or grandpa or your brother or sister? What fantasy are you allowing in your family about how somehow you're going to, and your family is going to escape all this? You're not. No family escapes this. Every single family in America has been touched at least once, if not multiple times, by the issues of aging and trying to take care of a failing, aging, frail loved one. I've been saying it since the first day I got on the radio, and it's never going to vary. No one needs to lose everything because at the end of life, someone had dementia or was frail, or was disabled. But I can tell you that there have been thousands of people in my career who have lost everything. I have seen people come back to me with the most terrible advice ever, who have lost everything because of the terrible advice they followed. I really do wish I could just verbally, softly, gently shake your shoulders and say, you know, if you are getting advice, if it's not from the half a dozen people that I know of in California who are really good at this, there's a good chance you're not getting good advice. I had somebody come in the other day who had already been told they had to spend down, They were told they were going to lose everything. They were told they can only have $2,000. They were told that they couldn't keep anything, and they were told that by an attorney. I've had somebody else in the last 2 weeks that called Medi-Cal, and Medi-Cal told them they had to spend everything down. They couldn't keep anything. And they are in the process of doing that when somehow they found me. I'm not going to be around forever. We're all going to get older. And I'm just telling you that whoever it is in your family, if you can put the fantasy aside for a minute that it's all going to be okay, when are you going to begin to deal with it? Or are you going to keep being a victim to all the other stuff that's out there? People saying the most outrageous things, charging $25,000. I heard recently of somebody, not in Sacramento, that's charging $35,000 to do Medi-Cal pre-planning. All the phony stuff out there with financial products and never mind. It's everywhere. How much longer are you going to hope it all works out? If that's your plan, if hope is your... Remember, hope is not a plan. Why? Because if you're hoping for something to happen, then you're not doing anything about it, are you? You're just hoping it happens. I'm almost out of gas. I hope I don't run out of gas. Now stop and think about that for a minute. I've said it, you've probably said it, which means what? We're not doing anything about making sure we get gas in the tank. We're hoping we don't run out. Sometimes we're hoping we don't run out until we can get to a gas station, when we probably passed seven of them while we were hoping we didn't run out. Hope is not a plan. Hope is not a plan. Hope is not a plan. It's the avoidance of a plan. Hope is not taking action. Hope is the avoidance of action. So how many of you are just hoping that you're going to die in your sleep? How many of you are hoping, by the way, this is an unspoken hope much of the time, how many of you are hoping that grandma, who has really bad dementia, we're going to be relieved of all of that responsibility because we're hoping grandma, you know, dies soon? Come on, don't tell me you haven't done it. Almost all of my clients, at some point in life, that has passed through their brains. Hope is not a plan. If you have not come and talked to me, if you're sitting on top of documents that are 10 years old, or you got off the internet, or you got them for $25 from somebody, if you have no plan in place, if you don't know what's going on, if none of that's going on, then good luck to you. If you'd like to stop hoping and that you've actually said to yourself, you know, Mildred, we better go in and see him because we're not getting any younger. Mom and Dad are not getting any younger. Grandma and Grandpa are not getting any younger. They're not going to get in better shape. They're never going to be smarter than they are today. Maybe we better take this opportunity today while we know the window is open, because the window could shut any time. When I talk to my clients sometimes, I talk to them with some urgency. And one of the phrases I use is, you know, we know whatever shape mom is in, or grandma or grandpa or whoever it is, we know that the window is open today to do stuff. But in my world, windows close and can close very, very, very quickly. How many of you have seen an older person that you saw like 3 months ago, and then you go back to see them for whatever reason? You go back in, you know, a week or 2 weeks or 6 weeks, and you go back and visit them, and you go, oh my lands, they changed so much. What happened? I just saw Herb a few months ago, and oh my gosh, he's not so good. How many of you have dealt with a person with a debilitating disease, MS or ALS or Parkinson's or Lewy body or stroke or, you know, some kind of a debilitating illness, and you haven't seen them for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, and you go to visit them and you go, holy Toledo, there's been such a change. And everybody's kind of surprised at the change. Why are we surprised when someone who's already beginning to fail fails more or fails more quickly or fails in ways we never could have imagined? Why are we surprised by that? Because a lot of us are living with the fantasy that somehow it's all just going to work out. I heard recently that somebody I know fairly well has a bad form of cancer. I don't want to say what kind. But the reality is, it's not going to get better. It's not. It's not going to end well. It's not. And to this family's credit, they're dealing with it openly and honestly and facing what's coming. With wide open eyes. They're not pretending that it's going to be different than it is. And that's the same thing in my world. It's not going to be the same for any of us. Those of you that are 68 years old right now and you're feeling pretty spiffy, you're going to be 75, then you're going to be 80, and then you're going to be 85, and you may not be doing so well. Your 85-year-old mother, who right now is doing just fine, there's a very good chance over the next 4, 5, 8, 10 years, by the way, an 85-year-old is going to live about another 7 or 8 years, that person is not going to be so spiffy and so cogent and so alert and so able to manage his or her surroundings. One of the things you can do with somebody you're concerned about is observe how they manage their surroundings. And I'm not trying to be indelicate, but we're going to talk about some stuff openly. Have you noticed that they don't change their clothes as often as they used to? Have you noticed that sometimes they put things on backwards? Have you noticed that sometimes they have different colored socks or different shoes? Have you noticed that the shoes that they always put in their closet are now left in the kitchen? Have you noticed that, the toaster doesn't get put away for days and days and days, and Mom always put the toaster away when she was done with it before? Watch how older people, the people in your life, react with their environment. Watch how they drive a car. Watch what they notice and don't notice. Watch if they can't remember how to operate the remote control so well anymore on their TV. Is the soap that Mom always used to be really careful of now left on the bottom of the shower or the bottom of the bathtub because she forgot to put it away? I know they're little things. Have you noticed that Dad's pants may be soiled in certain areas? Again, watch how people perform in their environment. It can tell you a lot. Does Dad not remember where he keeps the screwdriver so much anymore? Or he's looking for something and you say, Dad, what are you looking for? And he said, I can't find the screwdrivers. And he's known where the screwdrivers have been his whole life. It's not a big deal. Say, oh, they're in the garage. And he goes, oh, yeah, let me go get a screwdriver. But he was looking for a screwdriver in the drawers in the house, or he was looking for it in wherever it was. Look for how people react in their known environment. Not out, and then notice how they react out in a stranger environment. Not the same place. Do they forget where their favorite restaurant is sometimes? They remember the name, but God, I can't remember exactly where that was. Do they not remember what's on the shopping list? When they're done with the shopping list, did they only pick up 7 of the 10 items that they had on their shopping list? Because maybe they can't remember where the baking powder is in the store, and so it's confusing, and so they just ignore it this time around. There are so many clues that people give out along the way. There are so many clues. And if you're observant to those clues as you see people change, you don't have to talk to them. You can just observe. You don't have to give them a memory test. You can do that too. But observe. How do they manage their environment? Are they always looking for their glasses because they can't remember where they are? Did they forget where they put their book that they've been reading, you know, regularly? When they do read their book, do they start over at the same place that they were reading 3 days ago? All of the kinds of things that we do on a regular basis, pay attention and see if those patterns are changing. And then you have a really, really hard decision. All of us have to make this decision. My children will probably have to make this decision someday. And that is, do we get actively involved in this person's life, or do we pretend that it's not there? That's when really bad stuff happens. That's when mom falls and breaks her hip. That's when Adult Protective Services gets involved. That's when your doctor's saying, how come you're not taking care of your mom? And all of a sudden, everybody's surprised about what's happening. That's when the 3 of the children find out that the other child has been stealing mom's money or taking mom's money. And everybody's going, well, what? Why would mom let that happen? Because they didn't notice all along the way that mom was less able to manage her life and was being manipulated by one of the children or a grandchild or a relative or somebody else. Pay attention to people in their environment. Pay attention to each other as a husband and wife. Pay attention to your mom and dad. Get the kids together once in a while and say, hey, have you noticed mom? I've noticed this about mom. Have you noticed that about mom? And then you have to make the hardest decision of all. Ignore it, or be the responsible adult, whether that's a child or a spouse or whatever it is, but be the responsible adult and get involved and begin to make a difference and have a plan for how you're going to deal with this when it gets a lot worse than you can ever imagine. However bad you can imagine that this can get, you're probably not in the same neighborhood with how bad it can get. Some of you listening have been through that neighborhood where it gets really bad. I fear that some of you have been. Some of you are going through that neighborhood right now, and you just don't know what to do. Well, during the break, which is in about 2 minutes, get up off the chair and go call me and get in to see me and quit putting it off. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com, and you can send me an email, you can sign up for a workshop, you can get on my newsletter list, you can look at my videos, but you can begin to break inertia at rest and begin to move forward and understand that if you as the responsible adult don't grab this, then circumstances will grab all of you, and sometimes it doesn't end well. So who in your family is everybody in denial about that they're getting worse? Identify that person, and then the family needs to get together, have a family conference, and decide that they're going to take active steps to make a difference in that person's life and make sure that they're going to be safe and warm and taken care of the rest of their life. 800-999-8007. You can live in a fantasy world or denial about that loved one who's failing, or you can actively begin to provide and make sure that there's a plan in place to take care of them and make sure they're warm and comfortable. Well, I'll be back in just a couple minutes after the news and the weather and some traffic and some other things. Don't go away. More to talk about right here on Assets and the Aging, Affording the Future. We'll be right back in just a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Glad to have you with us. Been talking about the aging process, long-term care, Medi-Cal, nursing homes. Who's going to pay for this? How do we take care of mom or dad? Who's going to take care of you? How are you going to pay for it? Nobody is prepared for the cost of long-term care. Nobody. And if you're 55 years old, by the time you're 80 years old, that $10,000 nursing home is going to be $20,000 a month. If you don't believe it, wait. There's a bill in the legislature right now to allow nursing homes to access financing so they can build more nursing homes. There's a lot of people really upset about it because they hate nursing homes. They just want to sue them. But it's a good thing. And the reason it's a good thing is because if we continue to limit the number of beds, this is just a fact, folks, if you limit supply, what happens to cost as demand goes up? Yes, right now we have enough beds, but in 20 years we are not going to have enough beds. We're not going to have enough beds. And the cost of nursing homes are going to climb and climb and climb and climb and climb. Some nursing homes already have a waiting list. The cost of rehabilitation under Medicare is going to break the bank. And so everybody needs to be honest and take a look at what's going to happen and what's happening in your family. So that's what we're talking about on this show constantly. And I want to talk about I call them mini chapters. They're called cleaning out the attic, or the basement, I think I called them in the book. Cleaning out the basement, kind of, there's the big stuff and then there's little stuff. There's a section in here in my book about how to recognize a stroke. I'm not kidding you, that's important. How do you recognize a stroke? On assessing care needs, about aging in general. So again, what my book is now in the final process of just being formatted for different size machines. And it will be first offered to people on my newsletter list. So if you're not on my newsletter list, get there. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and sign up. But I just lost the section I was going to because I noticed the one on recognizing a stroke. Hang on, I want to go to another section here. Identifying mental decline. This is going to be chapter 11 in my little mini-series. Identifying mental decline. Here's some ways. I started out talking about looking at people in their environment. So here's some specific ways that you can, and you can re-listen to this show later on and write them down. It'll be on my website. But identifying mental decline. And they're in no particular order. In my book, they're just put in as bullet points. I'm going to use dad. I always pick on dad. But it could be mom, it could be grandma, it could be Aunt Tilly, it could be my spouse, whoever. Does dad often repeat themselves or ask the same question over and over? How many of you have seen that? Dad will say, what time's lunch? And you say, in about 10 minutes. And 3 minutes later, dad's going, what time's lunch? Well, in about 7 minutes. And 3 minutes later, Dad goes, what time's lunch? Or what time does my TV... The asking of the... They repeat themselves. Or every day... my children will tell you I probably do this. But every day or every hour, Mom tells you the same story that she told you an hour ago. About the time that she and Aunt Tilly were walking along the lake and the alligator came out, or whatever it is. Does Dad, and again, I'm using Dad here in my example, does Dad often repeat himself or ask the same question over and over? Here's the next one. Is Dad more forgetful, particularly with regard to short-term memory? He remembers what he did in high school, but he doesn't remember that he was at the doctor 2 days ago. These are things that you should be observing in that person in your family that you're concerned about. And then if you're not sure about yourself, ask people these things. Do you see me doing this? Does Dad need reminders to do things like chores, shopping, or taking medicine? I'll tell you what, medicine is a big one, folks. It's not so much just people forgetting to take their pills. It's taking the same pill every hour because they didn't remember they took it an hour ago. Medication management is a really big deal. You need to get good at, when you go to Mom's house, counting pills, or Dad's house, and looking in the pill cabinet and seeing if they're taking their pills. Look at if the bottle's empty and it's still 2 weeks from renewal of the prescription, and you're thinking, where did all the pills go? Well, Mom's been taking two of them a day instead of one of them a day. You have to learn to be a detective. Does Dad forget appointments? Does Dad forget when Christmas is? Does Dad forget that he was going to his granddaughter's birthday party this Saturday? All of these things are really, 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 really important when we're looking and trying to assess mental decline. I hear all the time, well, my dad doesn't have Alzheimer's. Well, first of all, you don't know that he doesn't have Alzheimer's. And secondly, it doesn't matter. Dementia is dementia. There's anywhere between 8 and 10 different kinds of dementia. Dementia is dementia. It's not going to end well. Here's another one. And I see this a lot. Oh, does Dad seem more sad, depressed, or apathetic than before? Dad was always doing stuff. Now Dad sits in his chair and watches TV all day long. Again, it could be Mom or Grandma. I'm just using Dad in my example here. Here's another big one. Does Dad seem to have trouble doing calculations, managing finances, balancing the checkbook? Have spending patterns changed? Did Dad never had any charges on his credit card, and now he's got $5,000 charged on his credit card? I was once in a house where the person, because they liked getting mail, they were had some dementia issues, had 25 different credit cards, all of them with charges on them, and the kids didn't know anything about it. Because they hadn't noticed, what? Well, Bob, you know, Dad and Mom's finances are personal. No, they are to an extent, but you've got to pay attention to them. It's one of the reasons why people get ripped off by strangers, is because the children aren't paying attention. It's why one of the children rips off Mom, because the other three children aren't paying attention. Look at Dad's checkbook. I'm a big fan of talking your mom in to, you know, letting you check her bank statements from time to time, or Dad, and see if there's anything on there. Why are there a whole bunch of $500 checks to cash that have been written? What are those for? Spending changes. Has Dad lost interest in his hobbies or pastimes, such as reading, attending church, or other social activities? Mom always used to go to bingo. Now she just doesn't want to go to bingo anymore. Mom never missed church. Now she goes, like, you know, once a month. And when I ask her about it, she just says, oh, you know, it's I have to get dressed and I have to, you know. But Mom never used to miss her social activities, her bridge club, her book club. And now Mom or Dad is kind of apathetic about, Dad always tied flies. And lately, even though he doesn't fly fish anymore, he always tied, and now he doesn't do that anymore. You have to look for changes like that. Has Dad started needing help eating, dressing, bathing, or using the bathroom? I don't mean to be indelicate, folks, but with an aging parent, you need to go in the bathroom and look around. You need to go in the bathroom and look around. It's a private place, and if somebody's having accidents or not doing too well, they're not going to tell you about it. When you go visit Mom or Dad, you need to go in the bathroom and look around. If the soap's not getting used, you know, and there's other problems that haven't been cleaned up, you need to know about it. Personal hygiene is a really big issue as people get older. Why? Because it's harder to do. Stop and think about it for a minute. Stop and think about it for a minute. Several years ago, my wife is so brilliant, we had to redo our bathroom because we had a leak. And we had to have the shower ripped out and all that kind of stuff. And when she rebuilt the shower, she built a seat into it. She built handicapped railings. She built all of that stuff into it. Why? Because we're going to get older. And the population's getting older. So number one, it'll be easier to sell the house. It'll be an asset to the house. But secondly, we're going to need it. I'll tell you what, when I had my knees replaced, it was one of the happiest moments in my life because there was a bench built into the shower. So, you know, go in and check. Does Mom not eat so much? Does Mom not prepare meals anymore? We noticed when my mother stopped baking, my mom always baked. Always baked. She baked cookies every Easter, cookies every Christmas. She baked all the time, and gradually she stopped baking. She lost interest in something that was really, really, really important to her. So in your own mom and dad's life, have they stopped cooking? Have they stopped doing the things that they always did? Has Dad become irritable, agitated, suspicious, started seeing, hearing, or believing things that are not real? It's easy to pass that off and, oh, it's just Dad's being Dad. If Dad says, you know, there were people in here, and you go, what do you mean, Dad? There was nobody in here. You know, Aunt Janine came to visit me yesterday, and Aunt Janine's been dead for 3 years. Oh, really, Dad? Is Mom or Dad becoming more irritable, more suspicious? Why are you over here? Why do you come to visit me all the time? You know, and Dad is irritable about things. He would never be irritable with the grandchildren, and all of a sudden now, he doesn't have any time for the grandchildren. They bother him too much. Why is that? I keep talking, this whole show I've been talking about being observant and looking for how people, and I'm reading you how people operate in their own environment, and I'm reading you a chapter out of my book on identifying mental decline. Are there concerns about driving? For example, does Dad get lost more frequently? Does Dad react? Does Dad, when you're driving with Dad, does he keep cutting cars off because he starts making a changing lanes without looking because he just hopes nobody's there? Does Mom not remember how to get to her hairdresser anymore? Mom, how come you didn't get your hair done this week? Oh, you know, I just didn't feel like going. Mom never missed her hairdresser. And you find out, you call the hairdresser, and you find out Mom is missing her appointments more often. It could be because Mom is getting lost and just goes home. You have to look for clues. You have to be Inspector Clouseau. And you have to go out and look for clues. driving erratically, missing a, forgetting what a stop sign means, running a stop sign or running a yield sign, or turning left from the right-hand lane or turning right from the left-hand lane. Okay? Mom doesn't want to parallel park anymore because she doesn't remember how. And the last one in here is, is Dad having trouble finding the words he wants to say, finishing sentences, or listen to this one, naming familiar things? All of us get more forgetful. I have problems. I'm going to be 72 here shortly. There are days when I go, I know what that is. Why can't I remember that? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about when Dad doesn't remember his granddaughter's name. When Dad doesn't remember, you know that thing with the dials on it, that thing, what is that thing called? And he's trying to talk about the TV. When you notice Dad, who used to be on the computer all the time, isn't on the computer anymore because he can't remember how to operate it. He doesn't remember how the mouse works. He doesn't remember how to get into his email or whatever it is. Finishing sentences. Well, you know, the other day I was, what was I doing the other day? How's Jenny doing? Because Dad can't finish the sentence. To some of you now, I've been talking for about 45 minutes. And to some of you now, you've already heard more than you need to hear. And you need to get up off your rear end. And you know you need to go start dealing with this because I'm talking to you about somebody in your family and you're finally starting to admit it. I want to give you one more resource. You can also Google Slums Exam, S-L-U-M-S. It was a test designed by the VA and by St. Louis University. In fact, I think it stands for St. Louis University Mental something or military something. And it's called a Slums Exam, and it was designed for lay people to use. Not doctors. Doctors could use it too. But it's designed, I think it's 10 questions, maybe 8. You know, some of them are like a circle, a square, and a triangle, and it'll say, which one's the triangle? And have the person identify which one's the triangle, that kind of thing. Some of them are a little bit more complex than that. And one of the great things about a Slums Exam is if you're not sure how your mom's doing, you can have your mom take the little exam, tuck it away, and 2 months later, go give the same one. Give it again and see if the answers are different or if there's fewer correct answers or I'm not sure what the answer to this one is, and it's called a Slums Exam. I wanted to put it in my book, but it was copyrighted. I think we did a link to it in my book. I can't remember. But you can certainly go Google Slums Exam and you can print it out and you can use it. And it's a wonderful little test. It's not super scientific, but it awards a score. And it was designed by St. Louis University and the VA. It was designed some time ago, but I think it's still valid and is still a useful tool for lay people. Doctors have their own one that they use. Don't worry about that one. But the Slums Exam, I think, is a valuable, valuable tool. I think it's worth Googling. So what do you do now with all this cool information? I've given you a lot of information. It's what I do. Now you have a really hard decision. Ignore what you see in front of you or do something about it. I can't tell you which one to do. I can't make the decision for you. I can't make it better for you as far as what's happening to mom or dad. I can't wave a magic wand and all of a sudden mom is not going to have dementia anymore. I can't wave a magic wand and dad's not going to have Parkinson's or ALS anymore. I can't do that. What I can do is make sure you have the tools to deal with what's coming. Because if you don't have the tools to deal with what's coming, as painful as it's going to be, it's going to be exponentially more painful because you won't have the tools to deal with it. You just simply won't have the tools. And simply having a living trust, or simply having a will, or simply having powers of attorney does not mean you have the correct tools. It may mean you have some tools, but it's all about what they say and how they're written and what they do and what they don't do. Sometimes they're actually in conflict with each other. So I don't know what you do with the information. I've had to ask people to stop coming to my workshops because they'll come 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And every time they come, they take notes and they pay attention. And at the end of the day, they leave and do what? They do nothing. And whatever the concern is that draws them there, it never is enough to motivate them to do something other than simply gathering information. My stomach tells me I'm hungry. What we probably should do is, when we start getting those clues, we start thinking about, okay, well, what should I eat? When should I eat? But at some point, we actually have to get up and go prepare the meal or prepare the food and eat it. If we just gather information about food, we would all starve to death. If we just gather information about all this stuff, I'll be seeing you in a few years when you're in a dead panic, trying to figure out what to do. Another thing nobody likes talking about is when Dad starts going a little off kilter, you know, starts to lose it. Dad's married. Who does everybody look to take care of Dad? Come on, you know the mom. And sure as I'm sitting here, what's going to happen to Mom? She's going to get sick or die. And nobody ever asked the question, what happens when the caregiver dies? What happens when the caregiver has a stroke? What happens when Mom dies and now Dad can't stay at home alone anymore because the only reason he was staying at home was because Mom was taking care of him, and now the family's running around like chickens with their heads cut off, looking for a home, trying to convince Dad to go, trying to find the documents because they find out they have no authority to sign a contract or get Dad into a nursing home. You can't do any of that stuff. So all of a sudden, the kids are out doing a conservatorship, which several attorneys I know who are very good elder law attorneys love doing because they make a lot of money, but they'll tell you they're a really bad idea. All because nobody ever was willing to confront the issue. And sons, I'm a son. Sons, you're much worse at it than daughters. It's just a fact. Sons are much more reluctant to get involved and to be involved in Mom and Dad's life than daughters are. Daughters, women understand what it means to be a caregiver on a different level than men do. You can disagree with me all you want, but in 25 years of doing this, I can tell you that for a certainty. Guys, you have to step up to the plate. I know, guys, you're used to being taken care of by your wife, but what happens when those roles get reversed and you're going to be taking care of her? Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for what's going to come? Children, are you prepared for having to bathe your mother or your father? Are you prepared to have to deal with their personal hygiene needs? Are you prepared to put them in a care home if you have to, emotionally? Do you have the authority to do that? Is it better to work on all that stuff after the fact, or while it's happening, before it really happens? I think the latter is better than the former. I think it's better to actually get involved and begin to prepare for the day when you're going to be wholly in charge of someone who can't make any decisions for themselves. You have a choice. You can get involved, or you can pretend that it's all going to go away and then let circumstance manage your life and your mom's life and your dad's life. Almost every conservatorship, you talk to any elder law attorney, almost every conservatorship is a direct result of the family not being involved until it was too late. 800-9, write it down. Get a paper. Don't, if you're driving, don't write it down. Re-listen to the show. 800-999-8007. On May 13th, I have a workshop. How many of you have signed up? Why not? How many of you have called already to get an appointment in my office? It's free. Why not? Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. Get yourself informed there, and then click on the button down the bottom of the page that says set an appointment and get in to see me. Or you can keep dancing through the graveyard until it happens. 800-999-8007. Becoming the responsible adult sometimes is hard. And like I tell my clients, usually children, tag, you're it. You're going to have to make really hard decisions about your mom, your dad, or a spouse, or your grandma, or your grandpa. Decisions you never thought you were going to have to make. They raised you to be a responsible adult. Take up the challenge and agree to do it. Please don't wait until it's too late, until you're now doing things you never thought you were going to have to do and you have no authority to do it. 800-999-8007. Set up a family conference. If everybody can't come in, we'll do a teleconference from my office. We'll all get on the phone together, we'll reason together, and we'll come up with answers for your family. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007 for Assets and Aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. It's a privilege to be here with you every week. I hope it's helpful. I hope you'll take the time to make the phone call and make a difference in your family's life. We'll see you here again next week, right here on Assets and Aging.